and statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome, welcome into the clubhouse. Of course, if you're online at radiogolfclub.com, it's great to have you listening in as well. It's podcast on the same site, radiogolfclub.com. So if you've got to leave us early, and you may have to, if you're going for a tea time, do check it out online and listen to the entire show. This morning, we've got first up Roger Cleveland, Callaway Golf Chief Club Designer. My first guest, he founded Cleveland Golf in 1979. Making replicas of classic golf clubs from the 1940s and 50s. I love the art of club making. Before we talk to Mr. Cleveland, let's thank the people who make the show possible, including Acura. Acura's amazing flagship, the RLX, making headlines again. Check out the new featured lease specials starting at only $439 a month. If you visit AcuraHawaii.com, you get all the details, and tell them you heard it on the Golf Club Radio Show. You'll get a special gift with an incredible car. I love that car. We'll be back after we thank our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
For 6 years, Callaway Golf has been leading the hot list in medal count. And welcome to the show, Mr. Roger Cleveland, the Chief Club Designer for Callaway Golf. It's good to have you in the clubhouse.
Danielle, nice to be here.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated with your story, the way you started the business with Cleveland Golf. You were fascinated with the older clubs? Is that why you were making or producing replicas?
Well, there, when I started, there weren't metalwoods at that time, and there were just persimmon woods, and the classics were made by principally McGregor back in the 40s and 50s. They made the best woods. There were other makers, but they made the best, and the pros gravitated there, and even when I started in the early 80s, that's the guys on the tour were using the old ones, and I thought, well, you know, and the McGregor had since moved from their base, which was in Ohio and Cincinnati and in that area down to Georgia, and they were chasing cheaper labor, and so did Wilson and Spalding as well. So they let the quality go. So they there was a little creak in the mm-hmm. So I moved in.
Absolutely.
Tried to do my best. I didn't know if I could do it, but we had a great wood maker over here, and I put some designs to it, and we worked together.
I think I sent you an email when we were setting up our time. My father, before he was too sick to play golf and passed away. He gave me his prized possession in the world of golf, and those were his three woods. And they were McGregor's, and they were persimmons, and
right.
They were absolutely beautiful.
Well, they were art, and the fellows that made those were really, I mean, when you got a set, and if you ordered it, you know, let's say 1 degree closed or something, you get the entire set of a 1-3-4-5 or 1-2-3-4 in that same orientation, and they did a beautiful job.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of work. There was a lot of steps, and you could successively mess it up as you went forward in the process. So you had to have some skill.
I was also interested in the fact that you started your company, your own company originally, Cleveland, in Huntington Beach, and I consider that like the ski capital of Southern California.
Well,
right?
No, it wasn't Huntington. It is there now, but
I mean the surf capital. I'm sorry,
started at Paramount, and there was a good friend, Charlie Lyons, and he had a foundry in that foundry was a small woodmaker by the name of Bob Gonzalez and his brother Jesse, and they were craftsmen, and they were kind of being underutilized, and I you know, started utilizing them, and we started collaborating on designs, and and I knew from my college days and playing, and I knew some pros, and they started liking them. They didn't have to go back and search back through the archives and find old ones. They could get the new ones.
Excellent. When I look at the club design that comes out today, there interesting things are happening with the golf club, the head.
Absolutely.
Aerodynamics, I mean, the people who are judging these clubs have PhDs in aerodynamics and solid metal, just things that you would send rocket ships to the moon. The people are doing manufacturing, but what I've noticed about your club, sir, is that they keep a traditional look to them. They don't look rocket ship-like. They kind of have that traditional look to the head.
Well, I try to influence as much as I can. They didn't know what to call me, so they put that title on me. But we have the biggest spend. Callaway has the biggest spend in R&D of anybody in the industry, and we have wonderful designers. We have great people of science. We have PhDs of metallurgy and so forth. So we really go at it. There's been some tremendous innovation, especially in the fairway wood, and soon to see some hybrids coming from us that really move, have the ball speeds that are like a driver, but with the fairway wood. And you saw that this year in the X-Hot, and Phil, the only one to hit the 17th at the Open with 2-3 woods. And, it creates a lot of distance.
Yes.
People loving it.
Yes, loving it. I mean, the Razor Fit driver was the Editor's Choice Award in 2012.
Right.
Callaway led all golf manufacturers with 16 medals that year in the 2012 Hot List issue. For 6 years, Callaway led the Hot List medal count leader, more performance categories than any other of the golf manufacturers. The Razor Fit was the first adjustable driver. A leader earned the highest possible ratings for innovation, look, and feel, and sound. And there's so many different things that the Hot List bases their determination on. They've got, as I mentioned, PhDs in engineering and physics and aerospace engineering and mechanical engineering and solids materials. They go over products from all of the top equipment manufacturers and the little ones. Mike Johnson, Mike Statura, Steve
right.
Sternberg, right, John Strege, and all these people look at your clubs and decide and give them points. And I thought it's kind of like the Olympics in golf equipment, right? The performance is 45% of the score. Innovation is 30% of the score. Look, feel, and sound is 20% of the score. Demand, only 5%. So I go back to innovation and the point system and the performance. Do you like the way the points are set up? Do you like that system?
Well, I think yes, I do, as a matter of fact. But I have to give some credit where credit is due. We have a fellow he is a PhD in his own right, Alan Hochtel, who heads up he's a senior VP of R&D, and a gentleman under him, Evan Gibbs, who does most of the woods and irons and makes them, does all the under the hood work, and they're incredible. And and the whole team is. I mean, I'm basically just a packager. I hope to influence what the design looks like, and because I love the traditional look, and I think golfers want that, and feel very confident when they look down. But the performance is staggering.
Yeah, the performance, 45%. But what you just said is so important. That look, that feel, and for me, the sound. What you look down at, you've got to be comfortable what you're looking at. And what's odd about the sound, and I don't understand this, but the sound of the club is tantamount to me.
well, we have people looking at, you know, the the effects of sound, and it's very key and very important. It can sound bad. The ball can go a long way, but it can sound bad. You know, why would you want to have that club when you can have one that sounds good? I mean, sound is very critical.
But isn't it? It's strange though, you know, because the sound comes to you later. It doesn't come.
No, I understand. That's part of golf. That's one of the great things about golf is one, you don't hit the real good shot every time, but when you do, you want to have that great sensation, the great feel coming up your hands, but also in your ears as well.
So much I want to talk to you about. My brain is like on overload. When I said surf cap, I'm a ski capital. I mean, your Cleveland company, why did you sell Cleveland?
I saw that we needed to build infrastructure, and I thought we had very good product at the time, and I wanted to add some capital so we could market properly and add infrastructure within R&D,
mm-hmm.
and that we were able to do. And the only there weren't public markets as popular as they are today, and so the only way I could do it is to sell it.
I got it. Okay, raising money. It's,
yep.
Yeah, okay, all
it's
right.
Just raise money to be able to really compete, and I thought we could, and we did.
Yeah, it's just interesting how it went. You know, when I saw the name Huntington Beach just because that's where it was based,
right.
company originally, right? Then it was sold to the Rossignol, you know, the ski company. That's where ski came in my mind. And then it was sold to Quicksilver, and then it went...
then it went to Huntington Beach with Quicksilver.
Yeah, right back in. Yeah, that's great. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about something that's near and dear to my heart, irons. And whenever I talk about irons, I talk to the club professionals that I talk to here in Hawaii, and I say, you know, which irons do I need? I believe irons are the next frontier for club makers. You guys have done wedges to perfection. You've done drivers to perfection. There are enough putters. You know, people have garage full of putters.
Never can have enough putters.
Okay.
Honestly, we love honesty.
Yes, honestly.
We have things. We just had presentations, and there are some marvelous things coming. Austin Rawlinson, who heads up that category of design, just kills it. He's wonderful.
And there's another thing that people are talking about. It's like, wow, Callaway introduced a new club before the new clubs are supposed to be introduced. What's up with that? So we're going to...
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. We'll take a real quick break. Thank the people who make this show possible. I'm talking with Roger Cleveland. He's the chief club designer for Callaway Golf. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuleye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And when you're heading to Ala Moana, go check out Acura on Ala Moana Boulevard. Check out their new featured lease special starting at only $439 a month. Visit AcuraHawaii.com for information, for the details, and be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Golf Club Radio Show. Get a special gift with an incredible car. We're talking with an incredible club manufacturer, Callaway. The chief club designer is Roger Cleveland. And Mr. Cleveland, you came out with some new clubs. They usually come out at the beginning of the year. It's kind of like cars, right? Well, wait a second. Cars come out in the fall, right? The
not new... anymore. Not in golf.
But right? Not in golf. It's you really threw people like they went, wait a second, we just saw the new clubs, and Callaway's come out with a new fairway wood, the Callaway Golf FT Opti Force fairway wood, fall of 2013.
That's right. Well, first of all, you have to go back and ask, how did this, or where did this come from? And we have new leadership. We have basically a new management at Callaway, and there was March of 2012 that Chip Brewer came to be our CEO. And he came from Adams, had a great tenure there, and did a great job there. And he brought in some outstanding people, Harry Arnett to run our marketing, and Mark Leposky to run our operations. And it's a different company. Chip comes from a great golf background. His dad's a senior Open champion, a senior amateur champion, excuse me, and so he's been steeped in golf and quite a good education that he had, ending up with an MBA at Harvard. So he's versed in golf and he loves to be aggressive.
And versed in, yes, in marketing. And the question I have is, we used to go to the PGA show in January to see all the new technology. Are we going to start seeing the new technology coming out in the fall?
I would suspect you might find Callaway coming out with new technology throughout the year.
Aha.
And we're not going to wait for the traditional fall. And it's kind of late, in my opinion, and I think a lot of our guys think the same way, at the traditional PGA show in the end of January.
Okay. All right.
Pretty late.
That's interesting. So, but for the folks who, you know, they only have a certain amount of disposable income, and like so many of us, right?
Yep.
What are we going to do when we find the club and then you come out with something like this one with, you know, it gets more distance, you get
the
more...
The course?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, you have to, I think you, it's just like, you know, you're one of your great sponsors is a great automobile maker, and they are constantly coming out with new products and refinements and tweaks, and so do we. We find ways to create, you know, 1.5 mile an hour more ball speed. You know, I mean, that's huge, and we're going to put it in the next club and all the next lines that we have. So. And we don't want to wait for the traditional end of January.
I don't blame you. I mean, if you've got something, you find something, you've tweaked it, you've made it look as good as you make it, sir, then all of a sudden you say, we need to give this. Why are we holding on to this?
It was amazing with OptiForce. We wanted to bring it out. There's a certain window, an ideal launch and spin window that we absolutely addressed with this driver, and we thought we'd get a few guys on tour to use it. Well, the first week we had quite a few guys here in the U.S. for us to adapt to the driver the first week, which was about five or six, which was quite a bit because we don't have that big of a staff here. But in Europe, we had about 8 to 10, and we have a bigger staff there, and an excellent one. So it was immediately, you know, a little bit longer and easier to control. So those are two good combinations.
You have these in two, right? 440s and 460s.
Exactly.
Right. Now
the bigger version, which is a little bit more forgiving, and then more of a tour version at 440.
Okay, so what would you, for a handicap, let's say a five could go
definitely
with a
440.
A 440. A 25, you'd go with a 460.
Absolutely.
Okay, yep. That's really important. Now,
when you hit off the center a little bit more, you have way more weight to help it stay stable through the hitting area.
Excellent. Now, what about, let me just really, before we go to irons and the Hot X2, Is the Hot X2 coming out? Okay.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Can I just ask you the one question? Here. New ideas. Are you into reining in golf technology, the golf ball technology?
Absolutely not. we're going to do something in the golf ball area that is really cool and very clear and defined. And our guys that are aerodynamicists which are the people who design the wings for Boeing and things like that, they're working for us. We have developed a very interesting way of identifying the particular need of a golfer and making it a clear choice for that person. So it's going to be fun going forward with that as well.
And it's really important that you put on, okay, this golf ball is for X person's handicap.
Well, it's kind of that, but it's not handicap based.
Okay, but still, that you know what I mean? Because it's really hard to stand in front of a rack of balls and say,
yeah, which one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It mothers.
Very difficult.
It is very difficult for the golfer. So, and I think it's really important that, you know, we get that down. So it's more, okay, I get this one.
The key is finding the right golf ball to maximize your distance. And based upon some things that, you know, we were able to do that. Everybody wants feel. Everybody wants to spin around the green. And that separation between that and distance is what we're coming at.
Can you get that in the same ball, the feel and the distance?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, about irons.
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously we're not going to get much on the X-Hot 2, right? Okay, let's go.
I'd love to, but...
It's not time.
Yes, it is.
It is time? Okay, so X-Hot 2, is it coming?
Well, let's talk about the one that is out there right now, because one of the things we have done is create, you know, we took the kind of the format of the fairway wood, where we developed a very thin, a special base material that's made in the United States by Carpenter Steel, and we form it, we machine it, and we create a base cup. And that's how we developed so much speed in a small little fairway wood. And we did the same thing with we tried to move it into an iron. Now, we didn't use the 455. We used the X-Hot, we used the stainless, but we deepened the undercut all the way almost down to the bottom of the club, so it creates a larger surface, so it creates more of a face that has a chance to move and create speed.
And the price point is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
It's a great price. So that's the X-Hot.
Yeah.
And it's a really hot club. It's going out. Rumor has it it's killing the market. Okay.
Well, it's doing very well, and we have a kind of a pro version of that called the Pro, and it doesn't quite have the undercut because it's more of a little bit smaller head for the person who wants to shape the ball a little bit more, and, but we created speed there as well.
Excellent. Now, drivers, we've covered them. Wedges, we don't have time. Why?
Oh, we have to have time for Mac Daddy.
Mac Daddy. Mac Daddy's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, that name came from Phil Mickelson. The first time we brought out, we made a groove for him that he wanted the biggest groove allowable through the USGA at the time. And he hit this one shot, and it just rips back, and he says, yep, that's my Mac Daddy groove.
Oh.
That's where that name came from.
Wow. See? Now, Jim Furyk, he shot a 59.
Yes.
In the second round of the BMW, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he playing one of your Callaway FT OptiForce 440 drivers?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And your Callaway X-Forge 50-degree wedge?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was also putting with the Odyssey, Versa?
And a few Odyssey and maybe some irons in there, too. X-Forge 13. So that's like butter, those irons.
Like butter. When I talk about the irons, are you guys starting to treat each iron as, I know they're individuals now, but they come as these sets?
Oh, yeah.
And they're very standard sets. Are you kind of individualizing the irons more today than you did in the past?
Well, we're addressing the needs of the segment of golfer for that particular iron segment. If they're forgiving, we're addressing speed. We're addressing speed in all the irons, but if you have a lot of speed, you need control and launch conditions. You need to perform like our muscle back, which a lot of pros, it addresses the launch angle, because you want your longer irons, which have less loft, to launch higher, and your shorter irons that you have no problem getting up to control and control the trajectory and launch a little bit lower. So we've addressed that in your weight distribution up and down the head. So we're looking at all skill levels.
Excellent.
And optimizing.
Will you be on the show again?
I'd love to.
Oh, good. Roger Cleveland, he's the chief club designer for Callaway Golf. And my next guest is Ron Syrak from Golf Digest and the executive editor of Golf World.
He's the best.
He asked me to say hi.
Please say hi to him. That's great.
I'll do that. Awesome. Mr. Cleveland, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to our next conversation.
Danielle, thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Okay, there's a Poipu tea time at 9 o'clock, 10:40, and 12:20, and twilight, of course. And the Pacific Missile Range crew, they all went and had a party last night, and they're out to play golf this morning. And I just want to say, you know, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Awesome that you're playing at Poipu Bay. And it's time to get a gift card, because it's the holidays, and it's so cool. Just get a gift card. Let's say a $100 gift card for your favorite golfer. They can go and play three times. Oh, make that four times because it's only $25. For $25, you get the practice and play. You book your check-in time between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, any day of the week. And then you get range balls. You get use of the practice facility. You get a golf cart. And then you play the course's first three holes, a par 4, 5, and 3. It's perfect for after work. $25. You get all that. So the $100 gift card, your golfer gets to go play four times. All right? Practice and play at Poipu Bay. In the clubhouse, welcome to the show, Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor, Golf Digest, Senior Writer. Good to have you on the show.
Hello, Danielle. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Mr. Cleveland was, I hope you heard, I was glad to see you waiting. I'm sorry you had to wait so long, but he was very happy to hear your hi. He said hi back.
We played on the same team together for 4 days at the Callaway Invitational 1 year, and it was a lot of fun. He's a fascinating guy to spend time with.
Yeah. Truly fun to talk with, just like you are. You went to the Marilyn Smith Charity Golf Classic. I went a couple years ago. Fabulous time. Last year, I think they raised enough money for 10 $5,000 scholarships awarded because of this tournament that she puts on. She's a dynamo. I spent time with her on the golf cart going from tee to tee. She took pictures with everybody. Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. She's an amazing woman. Look, she's, you know, one of the 13 founders of the LPGA. But even more importantly than that, in late 1940s, 47, 48 in there, she was at Kansas State University, and she was a good golfer. And at that time, there was not an NCAA tournament, but there was an intercollegiate golf tournament. And the national championships that year were in Columbus, Ohio. And her father went to the athletic director and said, will the school put up some money for my daughter to go play in this tournament? And he was told by the athletic director, it's too bad your daughter's not a boy. And and that's been a big motivation for Marilyn, and that's why she's created this girl scholarship fund. She's determined to make sure that any girl who wants to go to college and play golf is going to have the financial resources to do it.
That's great. And she just amazed me. She goes all day. She works hard all year to make this thing happen. And she sells out. The tournament sells out. And then there's this huge silent auction with really great gifts. Like, oh, I don't know, a trip to the World Golf Hall of Fame with tickets, you know, something like that. And we'll have to talk.
Yeah. You know, she had Betsy King was there, and Jane Crafter was there, and Hollis Stacey was there. But the support she gets from members of the teaching and club pro division of the LPGA is phenomenal in that area. I talked to one woman who had driven from Montana down to Arizona just to play in this outing to support Marilyn. And the support that she has from the teaching level women out there is phenomenal. And boy, I mean, the teachers are the boots on the ground. They're the people who are going to grow the game. And Marilyn's support of them, and Marilyn was a great teacher herself, and Marilyn's support by them is really a huge part of what makes that event special.
That is. It is. And I was so impressed, as are you, with the LPGA teaching professionals who are there every year to make sure that her event is a success. Let's go into the TV wars just a little bit. In the November issue, Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor and Golf Digest Senior Writer, has an in-depth article on the USJ bailing on NBC and hooking up with the USJ. The USJ hooks up with Fox. You know, it seemed like a very strange move. And then when I read your article, I was surprised at how it seemed to be more, well, yeah, it was financially beneficial, but so much emotion involved in this decision. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And what it shows is there's a little bit of a schism going on right now in the USGA between what would be viewed as old school people who are more traditional golf people and new school people who are more business oriented. look, by bringing Fox into the mix, and it's never bad to have more. It's never bad to have new money at the table, you know. And by bringing Fox into the mix, they increase their annual TV revenues from $37 million a year this year to $93 million a year in 2015. So that's a big jump forward. But they're going with a network that's never done golf before. They're bailing on a network that they have had a partnership with for 20 years. And that struck some people in an odd sort of way. But the bottom line here is the USGA had enormously good timing. Fox and NBC are both starting all sport networks to compete with ESPN. Fox is creating Fox Sports 1. NBC has the NBC Sports Network. They want to take on ESPN as 24-hour-7 broadcast station. Well, you need content. You need to fill up your airtime with something. And I think that the USGA realized two things. One, that they were going to be able to play people off against each other and get a big bump up in money because Fox needed some. And Fox had just lost English Premier League soccer to NBC. So they needed more content in there. And two, in Fox, the USGA is the only golf property on Fox. So they feel that they're going to get an enormous amount of cross-promotional publicity on all the Fox stations.
So we're going to see golf, USGA golf, on Fox for the next 50 years?
Well, the next 12 years, beginning in 2015. And then, you know, the other shoe fell yesterday.
Right.
When the PGA of America announced that they had re-signed the Ryder Cup with NBC through 2030. And also with, by getting, and what the PGA of America did brilliantly here is you take your valuable property, the Ryder Cup, the way the USGA took its valuable property, the Men's U.S. Open, and you leverage all your other properties against that. So by coming in and leveraging the Ryder Cup, the PGA of America was able to expand airtime for the PGA seniors, the club pro division tournament, and to do sort of these ancillary programmings, previewing the Ryder Cup and previewing all other stuff. And they bought themselves a whole lot more exposure on both NBC and on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, and of course, as you mentioned in your article, at golfdigest.com, the PGA of America gets a lot of support from Golf Channel and of course, Morning Drive, a program you're on frequently, with the featuring the guys on the ground, like the LPGA people on the ground, the PGA professional. And their events will be featured predominantly on NBC. So that's very exciting to see that kind of synergy happening between the PGA of America and NBC and all of its sports properties. But let's go back just briefly before we take a break. And I'd like to talk with you about the World Golf Hall of Fame, President's Cup changes, maybe the wraparound season, the never-ending story called the PGA Tour, some of the new events on the LPGA and the International Crown that's coming up. The emotional part that we didn't really address, why did the USGA bail on NBC? And was it because Augusta National and the Masters was becoming the predominantly hallowed event, and the U.S. Open was losing that position of loftiness, if you will, in the eyes of the public?
Yeah, if you talk to the USGA president, Glenn Nager, he'll tell you that in the early 1970s, the U.S. Open was the premier golf tournament, the most revered golf tournament in this country. And now it's been surpassed by the Masters. And, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that the Masters is the first of the year. It kicks off the golf season in April. Another is it's the only major played on the same golf course every year. So the golf course is a big part of the story.
I think that's the biggest part.
Yes, exactly. But the bottom line is that what Glenn Nager, what really rankled him was that from essentially the NFL playoffs in early January through the NCAA Final Four in March, he was hearing on CBS programming the Masters, a tradition like no other. And those words just annoyed the heck out of him, you know. And he wanted to get back that stature. And I think that he really felt that if he got onto a network where he was their only golf property, that he would get more attention and more love from the network. And he pointed out, when I talked to him, Nager said to me, look, over the last few years, the Players Championship has closed the ratings gap with the U.S. Open. Forget about the Masters versus the U.S. Open. The Players Championship is gaining on the U.S. Open. And he said, why is that? Because they're both done by the same network. They're both done by NBC. So there's no distinction in the way it's presented and who the announcers are and everything about it. I mean, look, Jim Nance's voice is associated with the Masters. And he wanted that singular sense of identity for the U.S. Open. And he thinks that by going to Fox, he's going to get that. What will be interesting is to see who Fox puts together as their team to present it.
That will be interesting. The production team, the announcing team, the people in front of the camera and behind the camera are critical. The people behind the camera, frankly, are more critical. Now, what if the USGA thought about doing something like a smaller rota, like the Open does, so that everybody would get excited about these 10 golf courses? Sometimes I think going from, there's just too many golf courses, so it doesn't become, oh, we're going back to this golf course. This is so exciting.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. You know, and I think in some ways the PGA of America has fallen victim to that. They've worked in some places in there that people aren't all that familiar with. I do think, I mean, look, we are going to see with the U.S. Open going ahead, they're going to go back to Oakmont, and that's a place we want to go back to.
Yes.
If there's a rota, we want Oakmont on it.
Yes.
They're going to go back to Pebble Beach. If there's a rota, we want Pebble Beach on it.
Yes.
They're going to go back to Shinnecock. If there's a rota, we want Shinnecock on it. So maybe they are closer to going back to doing what you're suggesting. I think they'll be back at Wingfoot. And if there's a rota, we want Wingfoot on it. And I do agree, you know, part of what's exciting about British Open is we know every 5 years we're going to St. Andrews. We know that.
Yeah, that's what's exciting.
Yes, and we know sprinkled in we're going to have Royal Living St. Anne's, and we're going to have Birkdale, and we're going to have Muirfield, and they're going to pop up in there. And I do think it would be wise for the U.S. Open to follow that sort of path.
And we're looking forward to going back to Bethpage Black, because if there's a rota, that's got to be on it.
Well, but it looks now like the PGA of America has upstaged the USGA there, and there's going to be both a PGA Championship and a Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black.
Uh-huh.
And I think a Ryder Cup, and I think it's going to be the 2024 Ryder Cup, and I'll give you this little bit of information. Expect Phil Mickelson to be the captain of the American team that year. I was told by somebody in the Mickelson camp that the one place that Phil would want to be Ryder Cup captain would be at Bethpage, because New Yorkers love Mickelson. They adore him there. Remember them singing Happy Birthday to
him
on the first tee at the Bethpage U.S. Open.
Fantastic. Somewhere there's a Mac Daddy and Bethpage Phil Mickelson Ryder Cup captain together there.
Yep.
You're awesome. Ron Syrak, can you stick around while we take a break and thank the people who make this show possible? Because without them, I wouldn't be on the air.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We're talking with Ron Syrak, the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer, Golf Digest. You need to get the November issue of Golf Digest. You can also, if you subscribe, get it on your iPad and just take it around and read it. It's a great article, and I'll give you the link right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuleye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the star. Star Protection Agency.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Let's celebrate Star Protection and all they do for us with a golf ball giveaway. Rocket balls from TaylorMade Golf. If you're the ninth caller, 808-296-5467. I will priority mail those balls to you, 808-296-5467. I don't care whether you're on the mainland or in Switzerland. You just give that call number a call, 808-296-5467. The ninth caller wins. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, senior writer for Golf Digest. And if you just Google Fox and Peacock, that's all you got to Google. And I think it's the fourth you'll find his article. GolfDigest.com is where you'll find it as well. It's Fox and Peacock. It's a great picture. Ron Cyrak, I'm still kind of, you know, the idea that they heard on CBS, a tradition like no other, for 3 months and got angry at NBC, I think it's funny. And now they're on Fox. That's great. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the World Golf Hall of Fame. We've talked about this before. The fact that, you know, we don't like the fact that people under 50 could be elected into the World Golf Hall of Fame and they're still playing. What's up with that? Phil Mickelson is a World Golf Hall of Fame member and he's still playing. Usually in most sports, in the NFL, do you have to be out for 5 or 10 years before it's even possible to be on the ballot?
Yeah, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and it's my personal policy that I don't vote for anybody under the age of 50. So I did not vote for Mickelson. I did not vote for Ernie Els. I did not vote for Vijay Singh, all of whom got in the Hall of Fame, and all of whom I would have voted for eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But they're relooking at things. And I think right now, here's the problem that they have with the Hall of Fame. The one is the age thing. But the other thing is, I think it's too easy for the men to get in and too hard for the women to get in. And the LPGA has the strictest standard of any Hall of Fame of any sport. You need 27 points to get in. And you get a point for each victory. You get 2 points for a major. You get a point if you're player of the year or you win the scoring title. But the LPGA Hall of Fame is really hard to get in. Under the system that's in there right now, Meg Mallon, who has 18 wins and 4 major championships, does not qualify for the Hall of Fame.
She doesn't have enough points.
Right. And in my mind, she should be in.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Davis has 25 of the 27 points. And she should be in. So I think what they need to do, I think this is what they're going to do. I think they're going to step back. They're going to take a year and they're going to figure out whether to toughen the standards, how to toughen the standards for the men and how to relax the standards for the women.
Okay. Well, that'd be great. There's a really good article in Golf World about this, written by Jaime Diaz, The Good Call by the Hall. I just hope that they don't decide, you know, okay, we're going to have a 2014 class, induct them with the 2015 class, so that it's a really big party and we can make a big deal about it. Because some of it is too much show to me.
Well, I think that's exactly, yes, I think that's exactly the reason. I think that's the reason they have the 40-year-old age limit, is they like people like Phil Mickelson to be there to give their speech, because that brings a little star power to it. You know, but the fact is, to me, it would mean more if Phil Mickelson was 50 years old instead of 40 when he's there doing it, and we would be remembering him more.
Yeah.
And we'd be remembering better what he accomplished.
And then the people who are actually in the World Golf Hall of Fame would then actually attend the ceremonies, because it's embarrassing that the guys who are in it don't even show up for it.
I think that's the biggest step forward that the Hall of Fame needs to make, is to get the Hall of Fame's not going to be taken seriously by the public until the players take it more seriously themselves. And they have to show up every year. They have to show up to support it. Vijay Singh got into the Hall of Fame, lives 20 miles from the Hall of Fame and didn't show up the next year. You know, that's wrong. The people who supported the best are the women. If you look every year, Donna Capone is there, and Carol Mann is there, and Joanne Carner is there, and Louise Suggs is there, and Beth Daniel is there. They show up every year to support it. But among the men, it's very, very, very few who do. And that's what the Hall of Fame needs to do, get those people to buy in to saying, this is special.
Yeah. Now, how do we make the President's Cup special?
Boy, that's a tough one. Well, first off, the first thing you need to do is eventually the internationals have got to win. So, I mean, you know, it's 8-1-1 right now, so it's a rout.
Yes, but second, it was contend. It was good. They did contend. I think it was Thursday and Friday was great.
It was. But, you know, Danielle, I thought about this a lot. And here's what's missing in the President's Cup. The international team is a contrived entity. Europe, in the Solheim Cup or in the Ryder Cup, they have a flag. They have a sense of purpose and unity and togetherness in there that doesn't exist on the international team and the President's Cup. Australia and Korea have nothing to do with each other. You know, it's just like. Here's everybody else in the world, and they're on one team, you know? And that's exactly how it feels. Here's everybody else in the world on one team. When Europe shows up for a Solheim Cup or a Ryder Cup, they are there for a unified purpose of beating the United States. They have a sense of identity. They have a chip on their shoulder. They want to prove who they are. They want to gain respect in the eyes of the Americans and the rest of the world, and they play that way. And I don't think that same intensity is there in the President's Cup.
What if they shortened it to 3 days?
You know, maybe. Some of the format changes that they've made in the President's Cup are pretty good. You know, the whole thing of being able to sort of control and pick a little bit who you play against. That's not a bad idea to go. And the four-day thing might not even be a bad thing.
Okay.
But, you know, the bottom line is, though, and it's going to be interesting to see what it's going to be like in 15 when we go to Korea, because I think the intensity there will be very, very, very good. But the real bottom line is you can't go 8-1-1 very much longer. You know, eventually it's got to become competitive. That's what happened at the Ryder Cup for 60 years. Nobody cared about it until in the mid-80s when Europe started to win. Then all of a sudden it became interesting.
That's true. And I think the internationals will coalesce. It's kind of a young event, and it's created by the PGA Tour. It's a PGA Tour property, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And what you're going to see, and this is going to happen very, very, very soon, is while this team, you know, early on, the international team was dominated by South Africans and Australians. But what we're going to see now going forward is that the Asians are going to start to dominate that team. Mm. And players from Korea and from Japan and eventually from China are going to be the dominant players on that team. And then I think it's going to really amp up in intensity.
And Hideki Maruyama was amazing to watch in the President's Cup. He was, and Ryo Ishikawa, they're both in the fries.com and doing very well. Now, you keep tweeting things like PGA Tour needs a better ball tournament, 64 teams, 128 players, match play. Would you rather see that than the President's Cup current format?
Well, you know, maybe we could have both, but, you know, I love the idea of having a best ball tournament. I mean, boy, best ball is fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got 64 players, first off, to me, the first thing I'd be interested in is 64 players, okay, 64 teams, that's 128 players, who picks to play with who? You know,
mm-hmm.
That would be fun to see, you know, like, gosh, who likes to play with each other? And we see that. But, you know, I think that what the LPGA is doing with the creation of the International Crown is, in a lot of ways, a better idea than the President's Cup, because you're going to have eight different nations represented there. And each of the eight nations will have four players in a team. So each team is going to be playing for their national identity. And I think it'll be more of an intensity there than you have in this sort of contrived, made-up international team.
And it's the first year, this year, the coming year, 2014, the inaugural tournament debuts July 21st to the 27th at Caves Valley Golf Club in Owens Mills, Maryland, outside Baltimore. If you want to be there, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the 2016 crown will be played at Rich Harvest Farms, and that's where a Solheim Cup was played in 2009. So this is 32 players, 8 countries, 1 crown. Now, how do they get, let's say, Norway? But Suzanne Pedersen's already on the Solheim Cup, so is it not that big a deal that she wouldn't be able to play?
No, she is the most glaring example of who gets left out here. Right now, if the eight teams would be, and the eight teams qualify off world ranking points, the eight countries with the lowest cumulative world ranking points get on. So right now, the eight teams would be the United States, Spain, Sweden, Great Britain, Australia, Taiwan, Japan, and Korea would be in there. So that takes care of getting those non-Solheim Cup nations into some sort of team competition. But the one that gets shut out is Norway. It's Ben Pedersen, because you need four players. And I can't think of three other Norwegians who play professional golf. I had trouble figuring out who the other four. I knew two of the Taiwanese. I knew that it was Teresa Liu and Yanni Sen. But apparently they got two others that they get them in there.
Okay.
But yeah, so there are going to be times when one of the top players doesn't get in. In Suzanne's case, it's certainly mollified by the fact that she gets to play Solheim Cup.
Yeah. Finally, we've got an interesting group of guys. You must say hi to Missy Jones for me. We're going to be talking rules right after you. But the last thing I want to talk about are some possible new LPGA events that are going to be played in the U.S. For instance, in August, I believe there's going to be an event in Michigan in Grand Rapids. Major is a hypermarket chain based. They're going to be playing at Blythe Field Country Club in Belmont. That's fun. How about this Nantucket one? Yes.
Yeah, Nantucket will be fascinating because I don't know how people are going to get there. I mean, it's a spectacular place, but you got to go by boat, you know, or airplane to get in there. You know, it's sort of like going to Hawaii. You know?
So, chopper in? Can you helicopter over?
But here's the real positive in all this is I do think and look right now. The single biggest revenue stream that the LPGA has is Korean TV money, and that's enormous. And their financial underpinning right now is coming a lot out of Asia. But the fact is, to grow girls' golf, to grow in the United States, the LPGA needs more domestic events. It needs a place where, all those Asia tournaments that they play, like now, right now they're embarking on a 5-tournament Asia swing. They're in Malaysia this week. There's only 60 or 70 players in those fields. So they're limited field events. If you're not in the top 50, 60 on the LPGA money list, you're not going. So it's hard to work your way up the pecking order. They need full field domestic tournaments in order to provide an avenue into the game for new blood, for young players.
Well, let's hope it, because right now Lexi Thompson is at the top of the leaderboard. She's really hitting the ball hard. She knows how to roll the rock and hit it. Lexi Thompson is 17 under, 67, 63, 66 in the Simi Darby LPGA Malaysia. Awesome to watch her play like that.
Just take a look at Lexi Thompson, at Lydia Ko, at Charlie Hall, and you've got three players who are incredibly young and incredibly good. And I think that speaks very, very well for what the future of women's golf is. And I think it's a good thing that the game is continuing to grow globally. I do think that the LPGA does better when there's an American in the mix among the top players in the world. But there are certainly, you know, I think Lexi is going to make a statement in there. But I'm a big supporter of the LPGA. I'm a big supporter of women's golf. And I think it's something that's going to continue to grow. And I think the talent level out there right now is the best it's been in a very, very long time.
Well, I think the next time we're going to talk, Lydia Ko will be a professional player. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to be. I'll be at the title holders, at the CME title holders in the third week of November, and she's going to be, from all accounts, playing there as a professional. Yeah, you know, I think that I support age limits because I think I've seen some players who've been rushed out there too soon and been rushed into unfortunate situations, and it's hurt their development as a player. But I think there have been players, and I think that Lydia was one. I think that Lexi was one. I think that Yanni was one, who were brought along. Paula Creamer was one. Paula Creamer turned pro at 18. They all turned pro in their teams. They all turned pro young, but they played a lot of amateur golf first. They learned how to win. They learned how to gain confidence. They learned how to get their competitive legs underneath them. So I have no problem with what Lydia's doing now because she wasn't out there doing a bunch of made-up events, you know, events only for exposure, events for moral victories. She was out there to learn how to win, and she's learned how to win.
Well, she's won professional events, I think, three of them already. She might as well cash a check. Ron Cyrek, Executive Editor at Golf World, Senior Writer, Golf Digest. Thanks for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you again.
My pleasure, Danielle. Anytime.
Aloha. And we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and always online at RadioGolfClub.com. We're going to take a break. We're coming back to talk with David Hayes and John Morissette about making golf rules simple. No, these guys are not crazy people. They are USGA guys. They take the rules very, very seriously. But there are ways to make them read easier, hopefully be better understood, and maybe not even intimidating for those who'd like to get into the game. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
I'm having lack of phone line problems this morning. I'm waiting. We have David Hayes. He's on the line. And John Morissette is probably trying to call in. In the meantime, of course, there are folks calling because they've been trying to call to win the golf balls, the TaylorMade golf balls. And with, you know, all the calls that have come in and then having all the phone lines blocked, we're having trouble getting John Morissette. So let me give you some, just a little bit of background. Let me ask one of my favorite people in the whole world. Raf, do we have, he raises his eyebrows through the glass and he says yes. And the question is, do we have John on the other line? Oh, excellent. Fantastic. So we're going to have to give away the golf balls at some point. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it because all of our lines are blocked. So I really apologize for that. And I apologize to you, John, for having to wait for so long to get through. And David Hayes, John Morissette, USJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon from Wisconsin, Danielle.
Is this David?
This is John.
Hi, John. John and David?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I was fascinated. Simple golf rules is something that I've been kind of passionate about, because even though I've been doing this show for, oh, long, long time, you know, 15 years, 16 years, I'm not a great golfer. I know the rules adequately. I don't know them as well as most rules officials know them. Chuck Larson was one of my favorite people in the world, and he passed away, a rules official. He would have rules clinics. People who care about the rules care profoundly about the rules of golf, and because of the history. The Decisions book is, I don't know, 2 inches thick. That the rules of golf that you carry around in your bag is this little tiny book that you have, right? Well, there's the Decisions book. That's a whole different ballgame. But the problem is, a lot of people, when they hear about or watch television and they hear about golf and they think about taking up the game or maybe getting back in the game, oh, the rules. I don't know the rules. If I don't know the rules, maybe I shouldn't play. The rules sound really 4.4A. 4.4A, wow, and there's a B, C, and D, huh? It's kind of like learning the English language. There are so many rules and decisions and exceptions. It all becomes just a little bit overwhelming to, let's say, the beginner, the novice, the person who's just starting to play the game. It's supposed to be a game, but it has all these rules. I mean, it's long list of rules. So, my philosophy is not, you know, how do we make it simpler? And here you go, David Hayes and John Morissette, two men who are passionate USGA members who have been rules officials. David, how long have you been a rules official?
Well, I started the USGA. I worked there from 2003 to about 2009.
Okay. And John, how long have you?
I worked at the USGA for 17 years, from 93 to 2010, and I've continued to do a little bit of officiating since then.
Okay, so, and you guys are you're pretty you're not mavericks is kind of my point, right? You're traditionalists.
Well, yes, I mean, I like to think so, and that, you know, we started the project with among other things, with some doubt as to whether there actually was that much rule room to simplify the current rules. And, obviously we're biased, having worked with and, helped refine our current rules, but we wondered if one result of the project might be that we'd throw our hands up and say, the current rules are as good as, or as simple as they can be, and that proved not to be the case, that we learned that, once you're willing to make some philosophical concessions and accept some different results, then actually it becomes, you can make some significant progress towards simplification. And that's, what we tried to do.
That's excellent. I was reading, and you can find out more about this, and there's a forum, by the way, that's very interesting. Not only what they've done, Code 1 and Code 2 changes, at Simple Golf Rules. You can find them on Facebook, Simple Golf Rules, and follow them on Twitter, Simple Golf Rules. And one of the introduction, the first paragraph, I have to read this. While working for the USGA, we became hardened to the cries, or whinings, as we viewed them somewhat snobbishly, to simplify the rules of golf. We believed and continue to believe that the current rules of golf are extremely well written and can be reasonably learned in depth by anyone willing to make the effort. When someone would complain that the rules are too complicated, we would often ask the person how many times he had read the rules, and almost every time people admitted that they had never read the rules of golf. We therefore were quick to dismiss complaints of complexity as a result of laziness of golfers, rather than as an actual shortcoming with the rules. But you did find, after looking at this, that there could be some simplification of the rules. And the question I have to ask you, first of all, is this a work that you're doing all by yourselves, or is the USGA, the RNA, are they interested in simplifying the rules? You can go first, David.
Well, we did this on our own. They are aware of our project. We kept them informed throughout the process because our work is based on theirs, and we didn't want to bump into their copyright. And we're also aware that they're working on their own rule simplification project. Glenn Nager mentioned that in his inaugural speech when he became USGA president nearly 2 years ago.
Okay. And John, would you like to add to that?
Yes. I mean, as David said, we just started this on our own, and by quite a coincidence, we learned that the USGA and RNA are undertaking something similar, in part because they are expecting slash hoping that with the reintroduction of golf into the Olympics in 2016, that there'll be a worldwide increase in interest in golf and the popularity of golf. And my understanding is part of their concerns is that in countries where the rule where golf does not have a long tradition, where golf is fairly new, whether and especially in countries where English is not the native language, whether people could pick up the current rules book and really understand things, or whether it's just much, much too complicated to someone who's completely new to the game. So they're undertaking something similar for 2020, and it'll be very, very interesting to see what they produce. We really have no idea. We'd like to think that they might think that some ideas contained in our two codes are interesting and might be worth pursuing, but we're certainly not expecting them to say, what John and David did all our work for us, we can't improve on it, let's just go with code two. We're definitely not counting on that.
No. And what you just said is what, we need to grow the game. More and more people are being exposed to golf on NBC, on CBS, on Golf Channel, which is coming on really strong. Younger people are playing the game. More kids are showing up on television. They're cool. They're hip. They're playing golf, plus they're into music and they're doing other things, so there's a lot of exposure. So there are a lot of new people in golf to infuse this new blood, and sometimes I think the real traditionalists of golf would just assume have those people stay away. But to get new people in the game, to grow the game, we need to make it so that the people, like in those foreign countries that might find it too complicated, for the English speakers here in the States, or anywhere else in the world where English is spoken, get them into the game, make it a little bit understandable, So embrace the ignorant, and ignorant is not a bad word, it just means you don't know. So the question I have, first of all, let's make this perfectly clear. Are you into bifurcation, two sets of rules, one for regular, people like amateur and professionals who are competitors, and one for recreational golfers? Do you approve of that? David, first.
No, we don't. We think having two sets of rules would add more complexity.
Okay, so let's go straight to that point. No bifurcation is being talked about here. But the reason I bring that up is you say there are two different sets of rules that you've come up with, sort of. You have a one and two. John, maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about one and two. I don't understand.
Yeah, And you're right, that does seem, with the goal being to simplify the rules, why in the world did we introduce or offer, two alternate codes, which runs contrary, that, people have enough trouble understanding the current single set of rules. So, our belief is certainly that bifurcation with two sets of rules would only make things worse. But what happened is we started our project, and then we spoke with Glenn Nager, the USGA president, and learned at that point that the USGA and RNA were doing something similar. And after that conversation, David and I talked, and we said, gee, I'm not sure we're making dramatic enough changes to the rules. So we went ahead down the path in the theme that we'd started with Code 1. And if you look at Code 1, it will look and read similar to the current rules, but there are some, a number of significant changes, such as, for example, the elimination of dropping. So you're always placing the ball, and various changes like that. But, if somebody just picked that up, you'd say, oh, this is the same, this looks almost identical to the current rules. You really haven't done anything. So then we decide to go a completely different route with more dramatic changes, and that led to Code 2. And, you know, we decided at the end to go ahead and put both on our website, simplegolfrules.com, just so people, you know, could see which they prefer. That some people might say, oh, wait a minute, Code 2 goes a little too far. You know, I'm not ready for that. Code 1, yeah, Code 1 I could get behind and support. So, you know, since the main purpose of this project was just to stimulate discussion on the topic, you know, ranging from, you know, first, should the rules be simplified? Do the rules need to be simplified? And if so, how far are we willing to go? You know, we thought for the sake of discussion, it's worthwhile to include both of those on the website.
Okay. So the website is Simple Golf Rules. What I found fascinating is that one of the biggest changes would be moving to a points-based system, not stroke play, but more Stableford. And we're going to talk about that after we take this break. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're talking with David Hayes and John Morissette, USGA, about Simple Golf Rules. My name is, yeah, I just said that, didn't I? This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
The new Acura RDX features an incredibly efficient V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Yet the RDX has incredible nimble driving characteristics. And let's not forget, it's also equipped with standard power moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. It also has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, they don't make any sound. Test drive the new RDX today.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
The new Acura RLX's true sense of luxury comes from its unique technologies. From the Juuleye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steer, to its available 14-speaker Krell premium audio system, the RLX takes everything you love about a luxury sedan and makes it even more luxurious. The all-new RLX from Acura. Luxury taken to a whole new level.
Visit your local Acura dealer today. Luxury, intelligently priced.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
When you go down to Acura on Ala Moana Boulevard, check out the new featured lease specials starting at only $439. And visit AcuraHawaii.com for information about the details. And then be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Golf Club radio show, and you'll get a special gift with this incredible car. We're talking with two gentlemen, USGA. One is John and the other is David. David is in Boise, David Hayes. John is in Erin, Wisconsin, John Morissette. We're talking about Simple Golf Rules. Now, when you guys sat down, didn't you have to like, come to some sort of agreement about, you know, how did you, gosh, tackle such a project and then decide how you're going to go about doing this? John.
Well, one point we should, you know, be upfront about is that, you know, there are certainly ideas in the two codes that are not our original ideas, such as, you know, the example I mentioned earlier about in both codes eliminating dropping, so you're always placing the ball. That's something, that's an idea that's been kicked around for a number of years as being, you know, arguably the single change that could have the most dramatic effect
on pace of play.
Well, and that is, you know, it's a lot to ask golfers to know when do you drop, when do you place, when do you drop twice and then place, when do you keep dropping until you get it right, you know, how do you drop, who's allowed to drop, and so forth.
Yes.
So that was certainly you know, an idea that was not ours, but you know, there are obviously a number of ideas in there that are ours that, and obviously a number of ideas people might not agree with, but it's certainly not completely our original thoughts.
Okay. All right. But the question, really, I guess I just go straight to it. How did you come up with putting Stableford in there at all? And was that accepted among the people in the forum? It seems like it's one of the most unpopular forms of golf in the United States. Go ahead, David.
Well, I think you're right that it's underutilized, which is a shame because it really gives golfers a chance to compartmentalize their mistakes. I can just stop playing this hole, shake off my bad swings, and start over again on the next tee. So I think it's a great format for everyone of all skill levels. It's true, on the forums there's been some resistance, which doesn't surprise us because it is probably the most radical aspect of Code 2. But the good thing about it is that it opens the door to other simplifications. Lose your golf ball at the end of the hole, move on. It eliminates the provisional ball, which golfers struggle with the rules regarding.
I think we just may have lost. Did we just lose David? Yes. John?
Yeah.
Can you pick up from there? Because I think we've lost David.
Oh, okay. Well, I the point, when David and I sat down to think, okay, what can we do that can really make Code 2 dramatically different from Code 1 from the current rules? And one of the, we quickly identified that one of the reasons for the complexity of the current rules is just the nature of stroke play. The need to hole out on every hole. And
it makes it more complicated, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. And sometimes if you do something wrong, you have to correct the mistake. Sometimes if you do something wrong, you just add two penalty strokes and keep playing. And obviously that doesn't do a lot for pace of play as well. And when we worked at the USGA, we became quite aware of how wildly popular Stableford is in Australia, for example, where that's the predominant form of play at the club level. And it's a shame that it's not more popular in this country because it has so many benefits that, as David was saying, it allows, 100 or 200 players to have a competition against each other, but without necessarily having a ridiculous pace of play. Mm-hmm. Because, if you have a bad hole, you just pick up, go to the next hole. So we started thinking, well, okay, what if we were to go down this road and how could that affect penalties? What if a penalty, instead of being a two-stroke penalty or two-stroke penalty and requirement to correct the mistake, or a stroke and distance penalty, if the penalty simply became that you didn't earn any points for that hole, then you could really simplify things. So as David was saying, that, if you hit your tee shot into the trees, you can't find it, you just curse your bad luck and you go on to the next tee. No mm-hmm. need to play a provisional ball, no need to return to the tee, and it still allows you to have a stroke play competition, with a great number of people playing against each other.
For the reason, since we're talking here to a U.S. audience predominantly, and for those of you listening internationally, go for it, play Stableford. and let's get more people playing Stableford in the United States because it'll just move along the pace of play. But I'd like you to go to Simple Golf Rules, to the forum, simplegolfrules.com. Here is one, John, and he says, first of all, let me say that this is a very welcome project. I found your main site at the suggestion of Dottie Pepper. I wasn't expecting to actually find this forum. So you can find out more about Simple Golf Rules at simplegolfrules.com. Okay? This John goes on to say in the forum, unlike many of the others whose posts I've read here, I am no authority on the rules of golf. Like the other guys in my regular foursome, we generally know the rules. But in many instances, the reasoning behind the rules don't make any sense. So we apply them as we see fit in order to keep our pace of play and to have fun. Perhaps I'm too dense to fully understand the reason for differentiation, but I have never understood the reasoning behind treating some lost balls differently from others. Why should there be any difference between a ball that is lost when you hit it in the woods and a ball's that you lose, but that you know it is lost in a water hazard. I mean, they are both lost balls. The penalty and relief should be the same. Drop with two club lengths where you last saw it, whether entering the trees, the gorse, the bushes, the water. But if dropping within two club lengths would still leave you behind an immovable obstruction, you could still go back along the ball's line of flight as far as necessary. So you see, these people are trying to follow the rules of golf. John says, I'm not really good at it. Neither is the three guys or girls that I play with. But we're trying, but we don't always know, so we apply it the way we can. So let's, just on this one, and we only have 3 minutes here. The stroke and distance, let's say, with OB, whenever your ball travels beyond the boundaries of the golf course, you are penalized both a stroke and a distance. This means that you must assess yourself a penalty stroke in addition to the stroke that propelled the ball into the city dump, let's say. You must also replay the stroke from where you last struck it. That's the distance portion of the penalty. So let's take an example. Your tee shot is a wild slice. It travels so wide that it clears the boundary fence. That was your first stroke. Now add one for clearing the fence. And tee up another ball. This time your drive lands in the fairway. Whew. Okay, however, you are now said to be lying three, which means that your next shot will count as your fourth. Okay, got it? Now, a lot of people get really frustrated with that. David's back. And, David, what are we going to do about this one, the stroke and distance, in your simple golf rules?
Well, in code two, we're just going to move on to the next tee.
Aha!
Which is, we've eliminated that penalty. So it's much easier. But that one post that you read, the player clearly is looking for simpler rules, and then he introduces a much more complex rule, right?
Yes, exactly.
And that goes back to the comment in our introduction where you started. Everybody wants simplification, but they don't understand the implications of changing the rules in one area and how they affect other areas. They want simplification for play of their own ball, but if somebody else does anything that they don't like, they want it penalized instantly. So it's kind of a tug of war between different goals, unfortunately.
Yeah. So my suggestion is, you know, when you're going to play the rules, play golf, play with your friends and tell them, you know, are you a real, if you're playing with somebody, say, do you like to follow the rules exactly? And find out, because if the person you're playing with wants to follow the rules exactly, they're very upset if that's not done. Very upset. And you need to find people who maybe are a little more relaxed about the rules. And say, oh, I'll just grab that ball and put it back over here, and we'll just keep on going. You know, let's pick up the ball and just move along. It's all in what you're going to do on the golf course. Are you going to go have fun and hit a golf ball? Or are you going to learn to play by the rules of the game? And set that up first. Maybe you shouldn't try to follow the exact rules of the game until you've become kind of competent at the game. You can actually hit the fairway, you know, in three.
Well, I could say for myself, I didn't like the feeling of walking off the golf course wondering if I had proceeded correctly or whether my score was accurate. And that's what led me first to sit down and improve my rules knowledge. And anyone can do it. I was mostly self-taught, and then I went to my first workshop and scored 94% on the exam. So they're not unknowable. They just require some effort.
Exactly, exactly. And experience. You have to be on the golf course to actually learn to find out where you are in the situation where the rules apply.
So, well, I also knew a non-golfer who studied on her own and went to a PGA USGA workshop and scored 87% on the exam the first time.
David Hayes, John Morissette, Simple Rules Golf www.thenewacuraRLX.com. Go there and participate in the forum. They'd love your feedback. I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. It is absolutely stunning to play it. You need to get a gift card for your favorite golfer and take advantage of the practice and play for $25. You get to practice and then play three holes of golf. Give them a call at Poipu Bay for the details. Acura's amazing flagship, the RLX, making headlines. You can check out the new featured lease specials starting at only $439 a month. Visit AcuraHawaii.com for details. Be sure to tell them you heard about it on the Golf Club. And, of course, Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Get Star Protection on your property. And I want to thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.